Well, this parable is one of the parables that, it's funny, I don't really know what to do with, or didn't really know what to do with for a very long time, so I ignored it, because that's what we usually do with things we don't understand. And so as I went back to revisit it again, I realized that over the past few years, I had become more... It sounds horrible to say I'm more okay with this parable because it's Jesus talking, but I understand it better. It causes me fewer problems, at least most of the time. And as I was thinking of it again, as for that matter, it struck me this morning that what this reminds me of, as much as anything, is an O. Henry story. I don't know how many of you read O. Henry stories when you were in school or something. He was a prolific short story writer of the 19th century with snap endings, these things that always turned around at the last second, and they're always unexpected to the point where it became so unexpected that it became expected. And there was a great television sketch on it once where someone playing O. Henry kept trying to bring tigers into the end of his story because people were always expecting something and getting what there was something completely odd. And this is what this story does. The story leads us in a particular direction and then changes at breakneck speed to the point where you sort of get a headache when you read it. And it's a fairly common experience of people at that time. We don't hire people the same way here. We have job interviews and all the rest. But the way it worked then was if you had a job to do, you went to the marketplace and you hired whoever was there. And whether you needed to negotiate a price or a wage or whatever was sort of irrelevant, that's where you went when you needed extra people to come and do things for you. And so this particular landowner goes and agrees to pay the people he hires a denarius, is what this translation says, what Rhea read for us as the usual daily wage because it's the same thing. And so he hires some people at the beginning of the day because he's got a vineyard that needs to be managed. And then he goes back in the third hour. Later in the day, these hours don't really connect terribly well. And he hires more people, and he hires more people, and he hires more people, till finally the day is done and the work is done, which is perfectly straightforward. It's a little unusual from our perspective to just go to a square and hire people, but at least we can imagine that. And then we begin to think that something might be a little peculiar when he tells the manager to call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first, which is just kind of strange. And then, as we go through, we have the same expectation that the people who are hired in the first, that the early part of the day did. Workers are hired, they get a denarius. So those who came at the beginning of the day are expecting, well, if they got one, we're going to get two, or maybe four, or who knows what we're going to get. And then they get a denarius, and they're mad. And most of us are mad right along with them the first time we read it. Because we look at that and we say, this is not fair. Well, there's two things wrong with that. First of all, as the landowner says, I'm not being unfair. What are you talking about, unfair? I'm not being unfair to you. We agreed that you would come and do a particular amount of work for me. I would give you a particular sum of money. You've done the work. Here's the sum of money. What's unfair about that? And they're right. There is nothing unfair about that. But it still seems wrong. So what is actually happening here? Well, it's grace. And it's grace whether you like it or not. I thought for a while about that sermon title. It sounds a little cheeky, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized, no, that's what's going on here. It's grace whether you like it or not. So what's grace? And I've used this definition certainly here before because it's the one that fits the best for me and it sort of sums it up. The easiest. And grace is God's unmerited favor. You don't earn grace. As soon as you earn something, it's not grace anymore. It's a return on what you've done. It's a response to you doing work. It's you've agreed to do something for a day, for a denarius, and you get it. That's not grace. Grace is something else. Grace is something that you don't deserve. And so what we have in this story is a picture of a whole bunch of interesting things about us, about human nature, and about God. And it's sort of a truism that we all want God's grace. But do we really? Well, let's put it another way. We want grace. Do we want everybody to have grace? came across a very interesting story long ago. I can't imagine it's true. Well, maybe it is, of a young woman who was, or maybe even a girl, who was being in the process of having sort of Christ's forgiveness explained to her. And so she said, so if I do something wrong and ask forgiveness from God, it's forgiven right away. Yeah. No matter what. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. I'd wait a while. I'd make somebody sort of hang there for a while before I forgave them. Now, if that isn't the perfect encapsulation of human nature, I don't know what is. That sense when we've been injured, the thought of us forgiving somebody right away is really hard for us. Because we want people to, well, let's not be, let's call it what it is. We want people to suffer for a while if they've made us suffer. Grace has nothing to do with that way of thinking. Absolutely none. And what we end up doing when we think of grace is we want grace in particular areas. We want grace for particular people. And we want it extended to, well, the people that we think it should be. But when we look at it, what we're talking about for the most part isn't grace. It'd probably be better described as justice. Because I can make a pretty good case that this landowner's behavior is unjust. I can't say that it's unfair, because it isn't unfair. But justice, whatever that might mean for each of us, suggests that someone who works harder would get more than someone who worked less hard. That would be just. Fair is something altogether different. But what Jesus is talking about is grace. Grace is one of those things that we will spend our entire lives bumping up against, trying to understand, and failing. Because it is so much beyond what we are as human beings. The idea of grace is something that we appreciate, that we want, that we still don't really get, because I think it might honestly be beyond us. We can understand it, yes, but we can't feel it the same way we can feel some other kinds of things. Except occasionally, we can feel it as it is extended to us. Because when we look at this story, and obviously it's a story, Jesus begins with a story. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. It's a simile. It's an extended simile, which is another definition of a parable. So if this is a simile, what might be going on here? What might this be pointing us towards? And I think it's pointing us towards a couple of things. It's pointing us towards this idea that we need to get past the notion that because we have been in this relationship with God for a long time, we somehow deserve more than someone else who has recently encountered God. Because it doesn't really work that way. And the reason why it doesn't work that way isn't so much that we overestimate the need for, you know, God's grace directed towards other people. It's that we underestimate our need for grace. Because what we see here is we see these workers, we see people who say, I have done more, I deserve more. And when we apply it to the larger picture of perhaps us, we might find ourselves thinking that we deserve more of God because we've done more for him and we've done less against him. We look at our lives and we say, well, I've never killed anybody, I've never embezzled, I've never assaulted someone, whatever we've run across most recently that has caught our attention in a bad way in the news. And we say, well, I'm not like that person. They really need grace. I mean, it's not that I don't need grace. Of course I need grace, but they really need grace. Well, the problem is that we all really need grace. This all begins from we can do nothing to be hired to push the simile, to be hired by the landowner. The landowner reaches out to the people who need to be hired. God reaches out to us, and he reaches out to us when we have no reasonable expectation that he will. In fact, he reaches out to us before we even know that we're reachable, or that there's a God to reach. We look at this story and it drives us crazy, because no matter where we fit here, no matter where we fit in the hiring process, we would find this odd if we were one of the workers. But when we look at it from the larger perspective of what this might be telling us about God, when we look at it from the perspective of what does this mean for grace, we see that everything is a gift. That the people who started at the first part of the day got the grace that they needed, and the grace that was agreed upon, once again, to push the simile. The people at the end of the day also got what they needed. Did they get what they deserved? I don't know. I don't think so. But when we step back to grace, I don't want to get what I deserve. And I suspect most of us don't. When I think of approaching a holy God, the last thing I want is justice. The last thing I want directed to me is what I deserve. What I want is grace, because I know I've failed. And it doesn't matter how much I've failed. And that's where we need to step away from this idea of comparing ourselves to somebody else. What I want is grace. That's what we all want. Because it's grace that triggers forgiveness when we confess, not justice. We see justice, or we see the attempts towards bringing justice to people in the Old Testament. It's this eye for an eye thing that never really seemed to work. And what we want is we want grace. The difficulty, of course, is when we start trying to apply this to the larger picture of things. And where do we fit? Where do we extend grace? Well, I can't answer that question for anyone but me. But my experience has been that I need to offer grace more frequently than I do. I need to get past this idea that I am somehow responsible for the judgment of people here, or for teaching them a lesson. Not for teaching them, not for helping them to understand things better, that's different. But I'm not responsible for teaching people a lesson. I'm responsible for the extension of grace, as grace has been given to me. In a very real sense, I'm one of the people who was hired early in the day. I have all kinds of blessings, all kinds of advantages that other people don't have. And I sometimes lose sight of those advantages when I see people who come into this relationship with God later in life, even than me, out of a background that is much more difficult than mine ever was. And they seem to have a better relationship. And I find part of myself going, well, that's not fair. And on my better days, I just think, well, who are you to judge? Who are you to decide? Who are you to even think about what's fair? This is somebody else's relationship. This is something else that's happening. And this is a landowner who has money to pay people as the landowner desires, not as I want them to. It's difficult for us to think about what is going to come after this life. So we don't have a lot to go on in Scripture, but we do have some. But the speculations are always kind of interesting. And the two things that sort of come back to me fairly often when I think about this are what C.S. Lewis said: when we get to heaven, we won't be surprised by who's there, but by who isn't. And someone else's remark saying that their heaven would be no better if there was no one in hell. And that one troubles me more than others. But when I think of that, and I think of the affronts that people have done, terrible things that people have done, I'm not God. I don't know which is worse. I don't know if there is worse. Once you put yourself outside of the relationship with God, Is there anything more than that, or is it just a matter of degree? I don't have any easy answers to this. Some days I don't think I have any answers at all. But what we do see in this somewhat disturbing story, in this story that has grace, whether you like it or not, what we do see is that everybody who was there left with a denarius. What we see is the asymmetry of the experience isn't that some people got less, it's that everybody got enough. And some people got more than others thought they deserved. There's an extravagance of grace here that makes us uncomfortable as much as anything. So when I think of this parable, and when I come back to it, what I've tried to move away from is trying to figure out, in a sense, where I fit or where other people fit, which is really much, much worse. What I try to do more, and what you might want to consider yourself in relation to this story, is that when you read it, and when parts of it annoy you, think more about the annoyance and take that to God. It's okay to be annoyed with God, by the way. I'm sure I've told you this before, but if I haven't, and if you've never heard it before, it's okay to be annoyed with God, and if you don't believe me, go read the book of Job. It'll eventually make sense to you. You will eventually come to a place where you realize that your annoyance was probably misplaced. But to suggest that you don't have feelings that you have is just going to give you an ulcer or something. If there are parts of this story that drive you crazy, take those parts to God. Meditate on those parts, not just the easy parts. And ask for some kind of an illumination that helps you see where you are finding this difficult. Why do we find it so difficult when people get more than they deserve? Especially when we have enough. Because I think that says more about us than it says about the person who receives or the person who gives. And when it comes to grace, whether we like it or not, each of us has been given all the grace we need. Every last bit. And maybe I need more grace than you, or maybe you need more grace than me, but that's irrelevant. Because the only grace that I need is what I need. And I've got all I need. Amen.